Hi there, thanks for joining us on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Graham Rodway are your team looking ahead to a great weekend. Sometimes, you know, on this show when I tee it up at the start, I'm like, we've got a really good show for you. We've got the great St Wilfrid or whatever, but I'm kind of trying to G up a not great weekend. But that's not the case this weekend. It is absolutely superb. There is great racing wherever you look. Here's what we've got coming up. Highlight of the weekend is the Kazoo St Ledger at Doncaster on Saturday. We'll see if the brilliant Hurricane Lane can land the odds there. More excellent races at Doncaster. Also Chester on an ITV Saturday special, where there is also the bonus of the Irish Champion Stakes from Leopardstown. We will be looking ahead to the rest of that stellar card as well, and then the second part of Irish Champions Weekend switches across to the Cara on Sunday. It is just brilliant. There is no let up, and we've even got Trials Day at Longchamp with some big names in action over there in France. Let's get stuck in, first of all, to the St Ledger, sponsored by Kazoo. What good sponsors they've become. 3:35, Doncaster Saturday, 1 mile, 6.5 furlongs, and Hurricane Lane is a strong favourite, 5-6. Although I've got to say, I thought he'd be a little bit shorter. Ottoman Emperor is 15-2, Mojo Star 8s, High Definition 9s, Interpretation 14s, 20 bar, 10 run. DJ, why isn't Hurricane Lane shorter?
I've no idea, Bruce. I think he should be. And I think he's potentially the best horse to have run in the Ledger for a long time. It'll be interesting to see what Rodders thinks, but I'd be giving this horse a big chance in the arc if he went there. It's the St Ledger, it's a classic, and we always seem to kind of just find ones to try and take on these shorties. But trying to find chinks in this lad's armour is very, very hard, I've found.
Is that it? Is that all you've got to say?
I thought you were just
it?
Like building up to like what I thought about the race. No.
Well, no, I wasn't. I was actually asking you what we don't have build up to what you fancy, oh. DJ. We just have what you fancy. So, go on.
I thought it was like a general overview first of all.
Well, no, not at all.
I've given the goods away because I fancy Hurricane Lane. If you're one for sure prices are taking a shade of odds on, like I never understand people that can kind of, they'll say, oh, I'd back Hurricane Lane at even money, but I definitely won't back him at 10 to 11 or 4 to 5 or 5 to 6. Like if you're that strong on a horse at that sort of a price, I think 5 to 6 is more than fair for a horse that's rated 120, that's rated £9 higher than the next shortest price in the market, which is Ottoman Emperor. Look, I was down with Johnny Murta earlier on in the week to do an interview for tomorrow's paper. And Johnny was very complimentary about Ottoman Emperor. He said he's improving all the time. He learned so much at Goodwood because there was crowds and he idled in front and he had to battle. And he said he learned so much. And he spent 10 minutes talking him up. And at the end, I said, do you think you'll beat Hurricane Lane? And he said, you know what? I don't know if we will or not. I think Hurricane Lane is rock solid. And I think that's the way everybody's going to approach the race. I think you can make a case for any amount of them each way, Mojo Star, Ottoman Emperor. I think Ottoman Emperor possibly will be second, but you're always going to come back to the fact that if Hurricane Lane, that we know and that we've loved this season, turns up, if he stays, which I think he will, like he wasn't stopping at the end at Longchamp. I think he's fine. I think his class will get him through and I think he'll win. I think 5 to 6 is fine.
Do you agree, G-Rod?
Well, he's obviously going to win if he turns up and runs to his best form. I don't think there's any doubt that he's the best horse in the race. And he's the best horse in the race by quite some distance. But it's a funny race, isn't it, the St Ledger? I mean, it's not just, oh, well, the best horse always turns up and wins. I mean, down the years, there's been some real weird old results, haven't there? I mean, who could forget Camelot getting beaten in his Triple Crown year? He would have had even more in hand than Hurricane Lane's got in hand here. I mean, remember when Idaho was odds on and he fell over about 4 years ago? There's been other horses get beat. Rewilding was a very short price. He got turned over. So, you know, it's the sort of race that you think, oh, well, yeah, it's just straightforward for Hurricane Lane. But when you think about it, it's a bit of a unique classic, isn't it? It's over 1 mile and 6.5 furlongs. Three-year-olds don't really run in that race, do they, over that far, generally. And I think there's enough in there to say, well, something funny could happen. I mean, he's a very, very short price and he makes the market for a bet against him. And I quite like one of Aidan O'Brien's runners called Sir Lucan. I think he should stay. It's difficult to be certain about whether he'll stay on pedigree because he's related to Sir Dragonet. And a lot of people said he didn't stay a couple of years ago, but he did finish fourth in the race. Having said that, Sir Lucan has already won over 1 mile and 5 furlongs and he's been absolutely flying at the finish on his last two starts over 1.5 miles. when he was behind Ottoman Emperor, and last time he was fourth in the Great Voltigeur, which has obviously always been a fairly decent guide to this race. Now, the winner of the Voltigeur doesn't run in this, Ybir, and I'm fairly certain that Sir Lucan was the second best horse in that race, even though he finished fourth. He did a lot wrong. I mean, he jumped the path early on. Anyway, I believe he'd not seen a race course before. I think that might be because Aidan O'Brien slapped the cheek pieces on. And I think, as I've said before in a recent podcast before, when Aidan O'Brien puts first-time cheek pieces on, it's a massive negative. I mean, he's got an absolutely awful record with runners wearing first-time cheek pieces, Aidan O'Brien. I mean, it's 6% or something. However, they do usually improve after they've had a run in cheek pieces. Second time out in cheek pieces, I think they're nearly 30%. So I've got half guess that maybe they don't do much work in cheek pieces at home. And then they have that experience in cheek pieces on the course. And then they really come on for it. And I'm hoping that Sir Lucan might do that. Obviously, you've got to back him each way. He's going to be around 20-1. He might not definitely beat Hurricane Lane, but I'll be quite hopeful he will place at the very least. And who knows, if something funny happens, like, you know, what happened to Camelot or Idaho, he might even win.
Okay, fair enough. I must say, Drew, I'd much rather back Sir Lucan than High Definition and Mojo Star. How they're single figures, I have absolutely no idea. But I'm going to be all in with DJ and Hurricane Lane. I just think it's very big price. Let's take in the other three ITV races at Donny on Saturday. Start with the Portland Handicap, over 5.5 furlongs. No hot favourites in this. There never is. But we do have 22 runners, and Hurricane Ivor is the shortest price of them as things stand, 13-2. Digital 11, Joal 11, Mondamej 11, Stone of Destiny 11, 12-1 bar. Let's see what we've got by way of each way. Skybet 7 places, William Hill 6 places. So shop around for best prices and best each way terms. Have you managed to suss this one for us, G-Rod? This looks tricky.
Yeah, quite fancy Mondamej, Bruce. He's a funny horse, isn't he? Oh, he's one of those horses. I've lost count of how many times people say this. Oh, he has to have everything drop right. You know, he's just a funny old character. Everything has to drop right. But I just think that is not always true. Yes, he is a bit. He pulls hard and he's well suited by a strong pace. But on his last two starts, he's really knuckled down quite well. I wonder if he's getting a bit more professional as he gets older. I mean, he is 4 going on 5 now, Mondamej. And he had every chance to get out of winning a Haydock handicap last week if he had wanted to, but he really did stick his head down and get up close to the line, beating Copper Knight by a head. He's gone up £3 in the weights, but he's always looked like he'd be well suited by sort of 5.5 furlongs, which of course is one of the great features of the Portland, isn't it? That is this weird race in between 5 and 6 furlongs. It might just be perfect for him on the bench. They'll go fast. He's in good form. I like him each way. You'll get plenty of places, as you said, Bruce. So I'm on the bench for me.
DJ, we had Justin O'Hanlon on the show last week, and he loved G-Rod's accent, and he had a little go at pronouncing how G-Rod spells the pronounces the animal spell H-O-R-S-E. Do you want to have a little go for us?
Horse?
No, do it in a G-Rod.
Oh, accent. Sorry. Horse.
It's more horse. Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Which horse do you fancy here, DJ?
I fancy Digital, but I'm really worried about the draw. If you go through the draw last 10 years, 18, 14, 18, 22, 12, 10, 15, 12, 21, no single figure drawn horse won it in the last decade, and Digital has drawn 2. And I was just dreading this happening, because I think a lot of these in here, we talk about them every week, Bruce. There seems to be a type of Portland handicap every single week on the podcast, because we have these sprint handicaps and they're all much of a muchness. And I just thought with Digital, I just thought he's a 3-year-old that seems to be getting faster. Like, he traded at 1.02 last time at York. How he got beaten, I'll never know. And I'd say Safi Osborne still can't believe he got beaten. He showed unbelievable pace, I thought, that day. Just natural speed that got him to the front and got everything else out of their comfort zone. Now, he's drawn 2, so I don't know. Is Tom Eaves this time going to try and get the rail and try and make kind of just let him loose? But I just think off 90, he's one in here that could still be getting better. He's gone from 81 up to 83, up to 86. He's now off 90, and I know he was beaten last time, but I think he's getting better, and I think he might be able to make all. So the draw just worries me a little bit, but 11-1 each way, he's fine for me.
I love the way you just said horse in your normal voice. What did you think it was? The world's easiest spelling bee? You didn't quite understand what I was getting at.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were trying to ask me for. I was waiting for you to spell the name, and I was like, H-O-R. Okay, that's har.
Right. Okay, DJ, 220, you can go first. It's the Champagne Stakes Group 2 over 7 furlongs. Just the four runners reach for the moon is 4-5. Loose Sail 15-8. Bayside Boy 8 and Twilight Jet 22-1. Reach of the Moon's coming along nicely. Will he continue to aim for the stars here?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll win. Yeah, I think like a bit like Hurricane Lane, I think he should be shorter. I just love his progression. And last time at Sandown, in the centre of the track, like he was beaten, battering really good horses, like horses that were rated. Like I think Austrian Theory was rated 104 going into that race. Great Max is rated 96. He absolutely battered them. Now he's up to a mark of 114. And the thing about it is, like Lusail has been running better races and winning better races. So you just have to try and kind of the last twice, obviously, Reach for the Moon won by 4 lengths. How much did he have left in the tank? I think there was plenty. That run against Point Lonsdale in the Chesham is starting to look better and better by the minute. And I think there is more improvement to come from Reach for the Moon. I think we've probably seen what Lusail can do. I think he's a rock solid 113 performer. I think Reach for the Moon could be a bit better than that. I think he's going to have a massive say in the classics next year. And if you're getting 4-5, you'd be disappointed if he's beaten Bruce.
G-Rod, what's your verdict here?
Yeah, proper horse this one, isn't it? Reach for the Moon. I think it could even win the Derby. I think he's absolutely tip-top class. He smashed up Harrow at Newbury, and Harrow's pretty good. I mean, he won at Donny and at York since. And last time out, DJ's already said, I mean, he absolutely walloped them at Sandown in a race where John Gosden always runs all of his best horses. I think this horse could be a real superstar, Reach for the Moon. And how exciting would it be in... Is it, well, what the Jubilee is it next year? Diamond, what comes, is it platinum now for the Queen?
It's the 70th, isn't it? So I don't really know. No. I mean, no. They might have to invent a new precious stone. It's so unusual.
But how exciting it would be for Her Majesty if she were to win the Derby in a whatever year it is.
70th anniversary, yeah, because we get an extra bank holiday on Oaks Day next year. Did you know that? Oaks Day is a bank holiday for the Queen's 70th anniversary, and the next day you've got Reach the Moon in the Derby. You're right, it would be very exciting. You just think it could happen, do you, G-Rod?
I really do think it could happen. And just, we've been going on about marketing the sport and how we can do it. How good would that be for the sport? Everyone's going to be off on a bank holiday watching the Queen in the Derby.
Right then, let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Donny. It's the Kazoo Park Stakes Group 2 over 7 furlongs, just the 6 runners. But it looks fairly competitive. Lanikash 9-4, Daniel 11-4, Glorious Journey 16-5, and it's 10-1. Baron G Rod's going to have first crack at naming the winner.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty, you know, when people say trappy race. Yeah, I don't really know what that means, but I think it just means that it's hard, you know, in that like 4 or 5 of them could win. Like you've got the solid option in here, Glorious Journey, who basically is one of DJ's favourite horses, but isn't very good. He isn't much better than sort of a Group 3, Group 2 horse. He's never going to make it a Group 1 level. So he's always vulnerable to a horse that could make it a Group 1 level. And then you look at the two Shadwell horses, Lancash and Danyar. And Danyar's got better form than Lancash. A racing post rate of 117 as opposed to 115 last time out. But Jim Crowley rarely gets it wrong when it comes to Shadwell horses. He's always bang on top of the form, Jim Crowley. And if he's choosing Lancash over Danyar, despite Danyar having better form on the track, that tells you the sort of high regard they must hold Lancash in. And of course, he is competed completely in listed and group races, Lancash, since he won his maiden at Ascot first time out, whereas Danyar's been running in handicap. So according to Jim Crowley and the Shadwell team, I don't think there's any doubt they think Lancash is better than Danyar. The market thinks that Lancash is better than Danyar. I'll be surprised if he isn't too progressive for Glorious Journey in Dubai. I know This Is Us can't win. So by process of elimination, I think the favourite will win, Lancash.
Thank you, G-Rod. David Jennings, your view?
I'm just surprised. In the list of my kind of favourite horses, I don't think Glorious Journey would be in the top 20. I obviously might have tipped him on this before, but wouldn't be in the top 20, I don't think. And I don't think he'll win this either. Look, Lanikash deserves to be favoured, and he's kind of the sexy one, you know, the one that just has ran 4 times, really good return to action at Newbury. And I remember that day, it was funny because on ITV, they were previewing the race, and it was a cracker of a race, really. And there was a lot of, you know, familiar horses in there. I think Al Suhail was sent off favourite. I thought that would win. But I remember Jason Weaver put up as his charity bet on the opening show, he put up Lanacash. And I was going, this is a bit mad, isn't he? Like, Lanacash hadn't ran in ages. And I thought, half a furlong out, I thought he was getting there. I thought it was a hell of a run. And like Rodder said, I think he deserves to be favoured, and I think he's the most likely winner. But surely the overpriced one in here is Dubai. I thought Dubai badly needed to run at Newbury. Like, obviously, he only beat one home and he ran out of steam. But it was his first run since the middle of February when he won at Maidan. He won that group two. And just at this level, when he's on his game, he's a pretty good horse. And, you know, last year, Wichita beat one master. Like, they were rated, whatever, 118, I think Wichita was rated. I don't think there's any Wichita in here, and I don't think there's any one master. So I think Dubai, who I think will come on a lot for his return to action. I did think it was reasonably interesting that James Doyle is riding Dubai rather than Glorious Journey, because James Doyle rode Glorious Journey the last three times he ran. So I don't know, maybe William Buick had the pick. I'm not sure. But I thought Dubai, if you can get 10 to 1, I thought that was 3 or 4 points too big.
Okay, let's go to Chester next.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to part two of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Let's look at the two ITV races at Chester on Saturday. We'll start with the 2 o'clock. 1 mile, 4.5 furlongs. For the Tote Plus Stand Stakes. It's a listed race and there are 9 runners. Now then, watch your bets here, because the favourite is Alignac at 9-4 and the second favourite is Alunac at 5-2. It's them 7-1, Throne Hall 8-1, Invite and 12-1 Bar. Are you going to go with Alignac, Alunac or another one, David Jennings?
I thought it was very hard to differentiate the pronunciation, so I'm just going to go for Throne Hall. I thought at the start of the season, when Throne Hall won at Doncaster, I said to myself, this is a horse that's going to take the season by storm. He's been disappointing since. I was all over him for a Royal Ascot handicap. But I thought last time back at York, down and trip over 1.5 miles, he was back to himself. And I just thought he enjoyed himself. And I think a track like Chester could actually help him. If Andrea said he can get him to break well, get into a prominent position, I think he's going to be hard to beat. So Throne Hall.
Who do you like, Graham, even?
Yeah, it's a fairly straightforward race, I think. And I think it is between Alignac and Alunac. And I think I'm going to go with Sir Michael Stout, number 2, Alignac, who hasn't run for over a year, but just looks like a typical Michael Stout, lightly raced, improving older horse.
Does he ever have any other type of horse these days?
No, I don't think he does.
You're not allowed into his stables unless you're a lightly raced, improving older horse anymore, right?
I think that is the case, yeah. It seems to have got even more extreme than it was in the past. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Alignac has got more upside to him than Alunac.
OK, thank you very much, chaps. Short and sweet. Let's move on to the 2:35 at Chester. 1 mile, 6.5 furlongs for the home serve handicap. 11-4 Mancini, 6-1 Hochfeld, 6-1 Mr. Curiosity, 13-2 Nuit Saint-Georges, 8-1 Bar. Before you tell us who you fancy, chaps, this Hochfeld, 15th run of the season, nothing shorter than 1.5 miles. He must be one of the toughest mothers in training. What a horse Hochfeld is. Can he win it, G-Rod?
I do think he will win it, Bruce. Ooh. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? I was running out the Racing Post ratings for this race for this season, and I was like, wow, this Hochfeld's got about 4 of the top 7 Racing Post ratings in the race. And then, like you say, I actually realised one of the reasons for that, he's just run a lot more than anyone
it's
else.
It's incredible, isn't he?
But even so, he is quite fairly handicapped. He's dropped back down to a marker 96, and he was winning races off this sort of marker at the start of the season. And there are some races with Mark Johnston train runners where you just go, oh, he's a bit better than this, isn't he? And when you look at this race, you look at Hochfeld, you think, yeah, he's a proper class 2 big handicap horse. And you look at the rest of them, you think they're not really that sort of level. They're class 3, class 4 horse. I know he's got the weight to show for it, but he's got this fella, Johnny Pete, on board claiming £7. So he's only going to be carrying 9 stone 1. And I just think he's better than these, Hochfeld.
What do you think, David?
Yeah, I think it's funny because he returned from a 409-day break last year and he finished 15th of 16. And the year before, he returned from 161-day break, and he finished 10th of 14. So what did Mark Johnson say? He just runs shite after a break, so we're just going to keep running them.
This will be his 25th run in 15 months. That's extraordinary, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Jesus, he's incredibly tough. Thought it was really tricky. I thought Auclair de Lune was perhaps the most interesting. I just didn't think he's quite got home at Ripon last time, went up to 2 miles. He was up half a mile in trip that day. I think this trip will be more to his liking. And stall 8 is obviously a little bit wider than you like, but I think the trip, and I don't think he's that badly handicapped. So Auclair de Lune and Hayley Turner will do for me.
Righty-ho, without further ado, let's move across to Ireland. Irish Champions Weekend, what a brilliant innovation. It must be 15 years now, isn't it, DJ? I can't even think now. I still think it's quite new, but no, it's established itself.
Not 15 years anyway, no.
What would it be?
Oh, I'd say 7 maybe, 8.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say about that, yeah.
Okay, I'll find out. 2:45 at Leopardstown. The highlight of the first day card is the 1 mile, 2 furlong Irish Champions Stakes. A group one with only 4 runners, but 3 of them are absolutely top class. 5-4 St Mark's Basilica, 9-4 Tarnawa, 100-30 Poetic Flair. The outsider is Patrick Sarsfield around about 33-1. You don't need quantity when you've got quality. This is some race, DJ, isn't it? Who do you like?
Oh, it's a belter, yeah. We knew from a good way out that those three were going to run. And I suppose you were just hoping to be a couple more. But it doesn't really matter. But it does matter to the way the race is going to be run, because I have a feeling that Tarnawa was actually going to make the running. I just nothing to do with talking to anybody or anything like that. It's just this thing I have in the back of my mind that to give her the best chance of winning, I don't think it can turn into a sprint. Now, you've obviously got Patrick Sarsfield's in there. It's Patrick Sarsfield, who's not good enough, rating 112, and who could try and just, you know, nick it from the front. And maybe that's his best chance of winning, so he could go forward. But if he doesn't go forward, Patrick Sarsfield, I think Colin Keane, who is brilliant from the front, could try to just make the running. Because if they go, like, you look at the Eclipse at Sandown, only a small field, again, a very sedate pace. I think the time was almost a second, 1.7 seconds slower than the handicap one later on the card over the same trip by a 90-rated handicapper. And in those set of circumstances, St. Mark's Basilica was fine. He doesn't really need to go into third and fourth gear. He goes from second to fifth gear, and it's instant acceleration. I think a track like Leopardstown is going to suit St. Mark's Basilica. And I think that's why you have no Aidan O'Brien pacemaker in here like you usually do. I think Aidan realises he's the one that can go bang. When Ryan says go, he can go. And he's done that twice in France. Again, I think it's going to suit him here. If potentially Patrick Sarsfield or Tarnawa makes a run, and I think he'll sit second or third. And I just think when they round for home, I think he's the one that's going to be bang and gone. And I just worry about Poetic Flair just settling over this longer trip and just getting the cover that potentially he needs to be at his very best. So he's favourite, but I won't have a bet in the race. But I do think St. Mark's Basilica is probably going to win, Bruce.
Okay, you are absolutely right, DJ. It started in 2014. Well done. G-Rod, are you excited about this?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic race, isn't it? We've got 3 tip-top Group 1 horses in it. And anyone would believe that DJ and I had a conversation before the race, because DJ said pretty much everything I was going to. I think that the Aidan O'Brien team want this race to become tactical. St. Mark's Basilica is an absolute speedball for a mile and a quarter horse. That is his forte. He's got a fantastic turn of foot. And the more of a test of speed this becomes, the more it will suit St. Mark's Basilica. With only 4 runners in it, I find it hard to believe that Tarnawa will be able to make it enough of a test to draw out St. Mark's Basilica's turn of foot. And I think, like DJ says, it'll be bang and gone for St. Mark's Basilica.
Okay, let's look at the 1:40 at Leopardstown on Saturday. It's over a mile. It's the Coolmore America Justify Matron Stakes. Mother Earth, the brilliant Mother Earth, is 6-4 favourite. 15-2 Pearls Galore, 10-1. Akanella, 11-1 bar. Is this a good thing here, Mother Earth, G-Rod?
Not for me, Bruce. No, obviously, if she runs to her very best form, she'll be very difficult to beat. She's got 2 RPRs of 115, which puts her clear. But she was below that level last time out of Deauville, albeit when winning. And I do like a real fast improving filly against her called Akanella. trained by Ger Lyon. Ger Lyon's absolutely flying along at the moment. He's stringer in fantastic form. And Akinola beat the winner of this race last year, Shumpa Zaliza. He's in a group three over a mile, 1 furlong last time out to Curra. Now, Akinola improved that day, £18 on Racing Post ratings from her previous best. She went from 92 to 110. She only made her debut in April, Akinola, so she's very, very lightly raced. And that was only her sixth run. I think that there's loads of more scope for improvement from Akinola. I mean, obviously, if she's not going to improve £18, if she did, she'd be a worldie. But even if she were to improve six or seven, that'd be good enough to win this. So it's Akinola for me against the Fav.
And who for you, David?
Oh, I think the favourite will win, Bruce. It's more a lack of opposition than anything else. Like, I wouldn't usually be a kind of a Mother Earth kind of, you know, tipping her to win Group 1s. But she's just so tough. And the thing that worries me, obviously, is just there's been so many really good fillies beaten in this race. Like, I know Lawrence won it, but Lawrence was beaten the following year. Winter was beaten in it. Alpha Centauri was beaten in it. It just tends to throw up a little bit of a shock. There's only been one winning favourite since 2011, and that was Legatissimo in 2015. There's been loads of double figure prices. Like, Kalina was 25-1 when she won it in 2013. So that's the thing that worries me. But, like, if you're looking at this on form, like, she's Mother Earth just has to win. Drawn in stall two. She's tough. She loves her race, and she's come on the back of a Group One win. I just don't know what's not to like. What's there to get her beaten? And I just don't know what it is, Bruce.
Okay, what about the Mother Earth Reach for the Moon Hurricane Lane Treble, DJ?
Ah, sure, it's glorious, but sure, one of them would get beaten, don't you know? It always happens to trebles, but I fancy all three of those.
I'll work out what that pays in a moment. And while I am doing that, I'm going to hand over to David Jennings, because we've got the rest of a great Leopardstown card and anything else he fancies on Saturday. Don't give your nap away.
That limits me. I was going to give my nap there. One second, yeah. So earlier on in the card, in the 12:40, it's a listed fillies race, and winners can actually run in this race now. And Lullaby runs here for Aidan O'Brien. But I thought Limiti De Grisio for Paddy Toomey. Good interview during the week in the Racing Post with Paddy Toomey by Brian Sheeran. I just thought this Limiti De Grisio, I just thought she improved loads to win last time. She's been beaten by Corvigli already. But she did well to win last time, I thought. And she beat Kirkira of Johnny Murtis, who Johnny thinks the world of. And I think she's gone from an RPR of 82 to 89. I think she can make another step up. She's obviously been to Leopardstown plenty of times. She likes the place. And I think she can win that 12:40 and get punters off to a good start. And the 110, it's the Group 2 KPMG Champion Juvenile Stakes. And I'm going to go for Atomic Jones here for Colin Keane and Ger Lyons. This is a Wooden Bassett Cole to beat Point Gillibrand first time out, and Shark Bay, who has won impressively since. And I just thought Atomic Jones did everything right that day, did well to hold on, was well backed, had obviously been working well. And just with Ger Lyons' 2-year-olds, he doesn't rush them. And I think there could be more improvement to come from Atomic Jones. So he's drawn a stall one as well. So I think he'll take the 110. So 12:40, Limiti De Grisio, and 110, Atomic Jones.
Lovely stuff. What have you got for us, G-Rod?
I quite like Salamarak in the 3:15 at Leopardstown. That's having his first run for Joseph O'Brien, having left Aidan O'Brien. So we've got to hope that it's fully wound up first time out for him, but should be. I mean, a massive eye catcher when it was second at Royal Ascot. You can forget his last run behind Hurricane Lane in Longchamp. He was beaten a mile, wasn't his form. And I quite like also called Phoenix Cowboy. Yeah, Phoenix Cowboy. The Cowboys played last night, didn't they? They lost. Yeah, Phoenix Cowboy, 3:45 at Leopardstown for Colin Keane. Again, could have a good day, Colin Keane, with any luck. This one absolutely rattled home to win last time out, and I think can defy the rise. So they were my other two on the card at Leopardstown.
Thank you very much. Yes, the NFL season, as G-Rod touched upon there, is back up and running. And don't forget, every Sunday in the Racing Post, sensational NFL coverage. Okay, let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with David Jennings.
Right, Bruce, I'm going to Leopardstown in the 210, the Clipper Logistics Boomerang Mile. And I am 100% going to give Thunder Moon another go. Thunder Moon has been disappointing, but he's 8-1 to win this Group 2, where there's nothing in here that you'd really be afraid of. Like, Maker of Kings is going to be near the top of the market, right at 100 level. But just Thunder Moon, like, the season has gone desperately for him. He was 11-2 to win the Guineas. He was very impressive last year in the National Stakes. And he was third to St. Mark's Basilica in the Dewhurst. But this season, terrible run first time out in the Guineas. Slightly better next time in Ascot in the St. James's Palace Stakes, where he didn't get a clear run. Then, bang, finally, Thunder Moon showed something in the Prix Jean Pratt. Was just beaten by Laws of Indices over there, 7 furlongs there. And I thought he was back. And then last time you go, oh, God, no, he's gone again. But if you remember, it was the most bizarre pre-Maurice de Guise you'd see, because it was the race where Frankie banged his head coming out of stalls in Campanelle. And he went out into the middle of the track. And Maxime Guillon tracked Frankie on Campanelle that day. And just obviously was on the worst of the ground. They didn't get into the race and nothing happened. And Maxime Guillon actually gave Thunder Moon a really easy time once his chance had gone. A mile around Leopardstown, stall one where he gets loads of cover. I'd be shocked if Thunder Moon isn't hard on the bridle turning for home. And I think his class is going to get him through. I think he's better than these. And I think 8-1 is a massive price.
Okay. As always with the boomerang, I just hope they all come back safe.
Every year, Bruce.
Okay, that is DJ's nap, Thunder Moon in the 210 at Leopardstown. G-Rod, what's your best bet of Saturday?
Yeah, mine runs at Chester in the 425 at Chester. It's called Group One Power, who I backed last time out at Ascot. He went off quite a hot favourite for a decent race there and ran absolutely abysmally, finishing tailed off last, hung left throughout and just appeared to run with something wrong. I think they'll get him back to his previous form. He was third at the track behind Snow Ocean, and it's good to laugh in a decent handicap there. And I think he's nicely handicapped off a mark of 88. Group 1 Power, 425 at Chester.
Thank you, Gerald. Oh, by the way, DJ, that treble, Reached for the Moon, Hurricane Lane and Mother Earth, pays around about 13-2, in case you're interested. Right, let's do Sunday next. Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Graham Rodway on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. And we're looking ahead to the second part of the Irish Champions Weekend. It takes place at the Curragh on Sunday. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Group 1s. We've also got Trials Day over in Longchamp. So we'll get cracking with the 4 Group 1s at Longchamp. We'll start with the 255 Derrinstown Stud Flying 5 Stakes and Winter Power. So impressive last time, 5-2. Glass Slippers, 3-1. Dragon Symbol, 4-1. What a great race to start off a great card. David Jennings, who wins this?
I'm going to put up Mooniesta each way, because I think she'll run her race and I think she loves the Curragh. And I think just the way the race is going to be run, I think she's going to... She mightn't quite be good enough to get there, but I think she's going to run a hell of a race and be finishing. I think there's so much speed there when you see the likes of Winter Power. Obviously, Glass Slippers is there and Dragon Symbol. Like, it's a hell of a race, and I'm sure the Curragh are absolutely delighted to get the three of the best sprinters around. But I just know with Jack Davison, he's a young trainer, very young, capable lad who has had this race in mind all season for Mooniesta. And while she has a good bit to find on the ratings, she's only rated 112, so she's got officially £5 to find with Winter Power. Just every whole season has been geared around this. And I'm not sure with the top three in the market whether the whole season has been geared around this. So Mooniesta for me each way. I think 11-1 each way with Paddy Power is perfectly respectable.
Cheers, DJ. I will be strapping on my betting boots to back the lovely Glass Slippers. Thought she was great last time. I like a bit of 3-1 there. Who do you like, Graham Rodway?
I really do like Winter Power. I think she's seriously fast horse. But, of course, she does have to prove herself away from York. And I think this will be a bit of a different test for her to what she faced at York. I like Glass Slippers as well. I think maybe her campaign, maybe not around this race, but it would definitely have been centred around a sort of autumn campaign taken in this race and the race at Longchamp. So she's definitely been trained with it in mind. And I think she'll improve for her run at Goodwood. That was a good run behind Swayzer.
Okay, let's move on to the 3:30. It's the Moyglare Stud Stakes, Group One for 7 furlongs for the 2-year-old fillies. 11-4, you're going to rinse me for this pronunciation. Cairde Godio. That wasn't that bad, was it? Go on then.
Cairde Godio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Cairde Godio, yeah.
What's that mean?
It means, this is really easy. Like, this is junior infant Irish, and my Irish is gone. It's friends. Cairde is friends anyway. Godio, I think, is live friends. Or hold on, I'll find it.
Well, you said it was easy.
Yeah, it is. It's something, I'd say it's something that you actually learn when you're about five, but I've just forgotten it. Okay. Portugal Joe means friends forever, is it? Friends forever.
Okay. That makes forever, sense. Friends. What a lovely name. Corda de Go is 11-4 favourite. Homely Songs is 3-1. It's 100-30. Agartha and 17-2 bar. So rather like the previous race, three dominate the market. Will they dominate the race, Graham?
It's a very tough race, isn't it? Bunch of unexposed juveniles. It's kind of one of those races where you hope that Forever Friends or Homeless Songs, you know, does come out in front, because it's still like the very likely race and could be anything. You don't really want the sort of Agarthas and the Prettiests and that to go and beat them, because then you know that they're limited. But having said that, I think this has got the look of a race that Aidan O'Brien might just sneak with Prettiest, the real tough filly who's had plenty of chances. She might just know a bit more than the front two in the market. I expect that they're the better long-term prospects, but maybe on this day it might be Prettiest day.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. David, who's your selection going to be?
Oh, I love Agartha, Bruce. I've fallen in love with her the last twice. Just a steadily progressive filly. And I just adore her attitude. If you look from the 2-1 pole last time in the debutante, I just thought she stuck her neck out. She was real low and just covered the ground quickly and just said, you know what? Nobody is getting by me. I'm the queen and I'm going to win this race. And I just think that winning mentality is massive in these juvenile races. She's got the hang of it. She's straightforward. Declan McDonald bounce her out and she say, come catch me, girls. And nothing has been able to get to her the last twice. And I think it's going to take a serious performance to get by her this time. I think she probably deserves to be a little bit shorter than she is. She's 130 and I think that's fine.
Thank you very much. I've got to say, chaps, I don't think the two-year-old season this year has been the most exciting. But I do think that this is a very exciting race coming up. The 4:05 at the Curragh on Sunday, the Goths Vincent O'Brien National Stakes, become, along with the Dewhurst, the most significant two-year-old race of the season. And the brilliant unbeaten Point Lonsdale is 4-7 favourite. Native Trail 9-2. Ebro River 7-1, 10-1 bar. This should be good, DJ, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Point Lonsdale is funny in that he's not flashy, but he's powerful and he puts his races to bed with power. And I just think last time when we saw him at the Curragh, like, he was backed into 1-6. I think on the show it was something like 2-7 into 1-6. Like, he was hammered. And there was a brief moment, as there is seems to be in all his races, about two out, where you go, oh, what's happening here? This fella's 1-6. He shouldn't be doing this. And then bang, he's gone. And I just think he's just going to outpower these. As regards kind of long-term projects, I love Duke de Sesa. I rang Dermot Well before. Duke de Sesa ran at Galway on its debut. And he says, I'll win this maiden. This is a really good horse. And he ran a cracker, but he only finished third. Last time we saw the best of him in a Curragh maiden over a mile, travelled like a dream that day. Produced a really high figure for a juvenile that day. I think he's going to be very good, but I just don't know if he's going to be streetwise enough and has enough done to try and beat Point Lonsdale. Would I take 4-7, 1-2 by Point Lonsdale? No. Do I think he'll win? Yes.
Graham.
Yeah, proper horse this, isn't it? Point Lonsdale could win the Derby next year.
You've already chosen the Derby winner.
Reach, it's going to be a dead heat.
Well, this is the other horse that could win the Derby, because, of course, Reach for the Moon and Point Lonsdale finished first and second in the Chesham Stakes at Royal Ascot, miles clear of the rest. And I'm fairly certain that is by far the best piece of juvenile form on offer this season. And Point Lonsdale and Reach for the Moon have both gone about proving that since, with Point Lonsdale winning twice since, both easily. I think that of the two, Reach for the Moon's got the more improvement as he goes forward and is the more likely Derby winner. But if there's a second Derby winner, Point Lonsdale's it. I think he'll win this. I think he's a star. I think he could win the Guineas and then get beaten by Reach for the Moon in the Derby, or possibly beat Reach for the Moon in Derby, or even dead eat with him.
There's never been a second Derby winner, but if it is going to happen, it's going to be Point Lonsdale, according to G-Rod. Right, let's look at the 4:40 at the Curragh on Sunday. Mile and six, Irish St. Ledger. Loads and loads of runners here. 14 go to post. It's more like a handicap, to be honest. 3-1 Twilight Payment's your favourite. 5-1 Baron Samedi, 5-1 Sunny Boy Listen, 6-1 Search for a Song, 10-1 Master of Reality, and 12-1 Bar. Graham Rodway, who wins?
Yeah, it's a hard race, this one, isn't it? For a Group 1, it doesn't look the highest of quality Group 1s. I do like Sonny Boy listing as a horse, and I was quite taken with his win in the Ebor last time. He obviously needs to improve again. Maybe a slight concern about the form of Johnny Murta's yard in the last few weeks. I think he's 0-22. We're probably banging loads on Friday now. But, yeah, I think that Sonny Boy listing might be my pick of the field.
Okay, thank you. David?
Oh, this is a nightmare to try and solve, isn't it? I never thought I'd do this, but I'm going to tip Search for a Song to win it for a third year in a row. I just go back and you look through the two that she's won. And like 2 years ago, she beat, she beat Kew Gardens. Cross Counter was fourth. Master Reality was back in fifth. A proper, proper St. Ledger. Last year, she beat Fujera Prince. Again, Twilight Payment was third. And you go back to down the field with Sovereign, who was sent off favourite that day. And I just look at this field, like, it's kind of say to yourself, right, she's running against similar type of horses, if not inferior to those. I don't think there's a Kew Gardens in the race this year. And she's been trained with one race and one race in mind only. She's only ran twice this season. And everything has been geared towards this race. You go back to the Long Distance Cup on Champions Day last year. She was second to Trushan. And at the time, you're kind of a little bit disappointed because she was beaten 7.5 lengths. But it turns out Trushan on that soft ground is basically impossible to beat. So I don't think that was a bad run. I think if she reproduces the run against Trushan or her win in the race for the last 2 years, I think she'll win it again. And I don't see any reason why she won't.
Okay, loads more great action at the Curragh on Sunday. And also over at Longchamp, we've got some real stars turning out, not least, of course, the mighty Snowfall. We've got Wonderful tonight. So, boys, what else do you fancy on Sunday? We'll start with G-Rod.
Yeah, cracking meeting at Longchamp, isn't it? The Arc Trials. One of my favourite horses in training's running, Spaghetti, in the 330, Qatar Prefoy, Skeletti, Gerald Mosse, Jay Rainier, absolutely love this horse. It's got a great turn of foot, so it's well suited by races that tend to pan out quite slowly run in France, don't they? And I expect that he could go very close. It is a mile and a four, and all of his best form's over a mile and two. So we're going to see if he stays, no doubt, with an idea of whether they can go for the Arc afterwards. It's so difficult because Snowfall's running in the pre-Vermeil, and I keep taking her on and thinking, oh, she ain't that good, and then she just keeps winning easily, and I'm convinced she's going to get turned over at one point. Maybe this weekend could be the one. I mean, Aidan's not going to have a right a tip-top form, is he? I mean, this is a prep run for the Arc, so maybe Alpinista could be the one. She's obviously the big improver from Sir Mark Prescott's yard. I'll certainly be having a bit each one her each way against Snowfall.
Top man, thank you, G Rod. David Jennings.
Lord Jesus, if Alpinista beats Snowfall, I'll fall off my chair. I can't see that happening, Rodders. 5:45 at the Curragh. Moran wears cheek pieces for the first time for Johnny Murta in this, and like going into the Ebor, he had Sonny Boy listening to Moran. And Moran was the one that I fancied more, and he just didn't get home under Adam Kirby. I think his form prior to that, I think, is really solid all season. And one of these days in a big field handicap, he's just going to get there. And I think a mile and two, strongly run, cheek pieces on, Ben Cohen riding him cold, I think he might get there. And I think he could be a decent price as well. That's Moran in the 5:45 at the Curragh.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, DJ. Thanks, G-Rod. Thank you very much for listening. As always, to Bet Responsibly, there's so much action, it's easy to get carried away. What a great racing weekend. Maddie will be rounding up what's happened on Monday. And we're back next Friday looking ahead to the Air Gold Cup. Do join us for another great Racing Post weekend postcast.